Forget that I went to compliment with the special summer last week. Today also not exhaustively. This is what the first person looking for, the person also looking for in the world of Maksha. It's a world which in certain respects is self-contained. I respect very much that self-contained. I speak of self-containment, the prospect of that, I speak of two different senses. One is the extent to which you deal with the closed universe, as far as our text, our Makarios, the Buddhist Deus, and here, we encounter different views, both as to what is and what ought to be. There are some, even among those who accept us being champion the study of Machshavah, who insist that if there was to study at all, it'd be hermetically sealed. And if that's what you'd say, maybe they don't mind, they just save Sudan Ignas and sense that he needs to deal with whatever issues he dealt with exclusively within the context of the extent of rights by authority, only upon the authority of Aramikaius, Dosh, and Kedusha. This is one approach. And has the advantages on both the positive and negative side. On the positive side, that one lives within a world of total kedusha. As far as the Sfumera is concerned, the possible defilement, whatever term one wants to use, the world of total kedusha may be grounded upon elements which possibly absorb from without, that is avoided. So avoiding that kind of contact with the outer world can be viewed as important, as valuable for two reasons. One is in terms of what is being imported. It may be imported something which is polluting, spiritually speaking. If you want to avoid pollution, you have to avoid contact with source of pollution. The other is not necessarily relate to material per se, but relate to its source as such. If the word Valochi is not said to me to be Yashmai, and different vein, otherwise not, which of course means that inasmuch as one assumes that Talmud Torah is not a purely intellectual pursuit, but a spiritual pursuit first and foremost, fascinated by Hashem, then people with whom you come to contact, on whom you draw, on whom you rely, whom you derive inspiration, should be exclusively people by themselves deeply grounded and thoroughly committed to what is very essential. But that has to do to some extent with from whom you learn, to some extent with whom you teach. Now, the first concern about pollution was one which is particularly keen to dealing with the world of Eretz Yisrael and the like. The Rambam, his own practice with regard to this, not informative, but he tells us here. I think so. Sichavim. ספרים רבים חיברו עובדי כרובים בעבודתה, איך עיקר עבודתה ומה מעשה ומשפטיה. ספרים הקדוש ברוך הוא שלא לקרוא בעשרת ספרים כלל, ולנהר בה ולא בדבר מדבריה. ולהסתכל בדמות הצורה הסור שלמה תכונות הילדים. בעניין הזה נאמר, ונדרוש של רבים לאמור, איך יעבדו שלא תשאל דרך עבודתה, איך היא, אף בשלת העובדה, שדבר זה גורם לפנות אחר, לעשות כמו שאין עושים שלא עושה כי גם אני. They give you an example of how gradually, slippery slope, person begins to move from one place to the other, and mentions subsequently, Rav Dat Kavim Bivad Bishosur Prot Achea B'machshava. The Kol Machshava Shu Gorem Lo La'adam La'akor Ikar B'divrei Torah, B'ikirei Torah, Usayid Anu Shuruah Ota Libeinu, Nonsiach Datenu Lechach, Yachshov Ilu Mashiach Arirua Alev. משנתו של אדם קצרה, וכל הדעות יכולים להשיג האמת על בוריו, ואם יימשך כל אדם אחר מחשבות ליבו, נמצא מרחיב את העולם לפי כוסר דעתו. כיצד? פעמים ירצו אחר עבודת כוכבים, פעמים יחשוב ייחוד הבורא, שם הוא שם אינו. מה למעלה, מה למטה, מה לפעמים, מה לאחור, ומה לאחור. ופעמים מנבואה, שם היא אמת, שם היא אינה. לפעמים בתורה שומעים מן השמיים שם העינה, ואני יודע המידות שיודעים בהן שידע האמת הבריאו, ומצא יוצא דמינות. היה זה הזהיר התורה שלהם, ונאמר בה, ותתורו אחרי לבבכם אחרי עיניכם, כשאתם זונים, כלומר למשל, לבדיקי המחלת הטוב, אחרי דתו הקצרה, נדמה שמחשבתו מתמשגת האמת, כך הוא חכמי גמר פרס המלבייס, אחרי ואחרי זו מינות, אחרי ואליכם זו זנות. ורעב זה בשביל גורם לאדם למרתרדו מן העולם, מעולם הבא, אין בו מלכות. אני יודע רמב״ם, that's the country of his own practice, makes it clear that it's best not to raise fundamental issues, not to ask those vital questions. These very start with the infrastructure of the context of Emuna. And then you can begin to inquire and to investigate with regard to the details of those elements which are part of your world order. But not to question or to raise the doubts, even with an eye to try to prove the correctness of your worldview. Don't start, the danger is always there. So as I've said, there's one possibility of self-containment in a cultural sense, in a historical sense, when you come into contact, contemporaneously, what you read historically, that which has come down to you. And this is both the interest, I've said, the purity, the integrity of what it is that you're thinking, and if you become into contact, which is probably considered to be problematic, both of defiling per se, chazasi kavliya b'dihina v'idhan, come rub shoulders with oil, you get oil in the skin, that's not positive, if you rub with garbage, you get garbage. But apart from that, the question of whom you admire, to whom you turn, who begins to assume for you some measure of authority, all of that is something which from this point of view needs to be avoided. is one very, a view which is very often prevalent, and particularly in cultural situations, historically speaking, there's tension between ourselves and the other world around us, not through true fructification, but reciprocal tension. That kind of self-containment is very much preferred. But there's another kind of self-containment which relates not to the persons or to literature with which you come into contact, but the self-containment of issues. Which kind of problems you deal with? But this is not necessarily identical with the first matter. You might deal with it very specifically in Jewish, but read what's said about that issue by people who are opposed to skillish tendencies, not committed to Messiah, suspicious of Chazal, religiously rebellious, even though the field of their activity, strictly speaking, in the Jewish field. But the kind of stuff we're talking about over here has to do with what kind of problems you, as I said, you analyze. The word of Machshava, or take it the kind of English equivalent of religious thought, one is conceivably likely to confront two kinds of issues. There are issues which are universal. Which religion, qua religion, can raise. Anyone who wants to probe the depths of religious thought, we certainly want to deal with. The nature of man, ethical issues, the nature to the extent that we can grasp and define, the relationship between the transcendental and the immanent, between the human and the divine, both in terms of, you know, what is and what things ought to be, what kind of relationship a person has to the Menschel. Might be dominated by Yireh, dominated by Aviv. What's most important, religiously speaking, to try to submit to the Menschel, to know the Menschel, to understand him, to understand his words. But these and many other issues, as I've said, part of the religious life and the spiritual life, religiously speaking, per se. And even if one could conceive of a world which many think is pre-Matan Torah, I didn't think so, maybe it's pre-Matan Torah, it's ahistorical, religiously speaking, but ahistorical traditions, their start of religions, simply man implanted the universe, left there by the Vishalim to cope with it, to manage to deal with it. If he has religious tendency, religious soul, if religion is still not simply part of a cultural tradition, but part of the very fabric and fiber of his innermost being, we'll deal with these problems. Now, dealing with them, if you've been reared and raised and educated in a certain cultural tradition, more specifically speaking, it's a religious tradition, it's likely to cope with these problems through the tools of that tradition. Now, the tools themselves, of course, are varied. One tool is a text, a corpus of texts. Another tool are an array of concepts, of ideas. Again, both in regard to what is and what ought to be. As a perception of reality, how one thinks the world is, the world is structured, and to what end the person thinks the world and he within that world should be directed. materials which relate to these issues, I'd like you to serve as sources for coping with general questions of religious thought. On the other hand, coming back to the question of self-containment, when you deal with issues which are not part of universal position, universal attempt to come to grips with fundamental religious issues, but to deal only with those issues which have to do with his own moral, his own position, his own national history, his own spiritual history. Given the nature of man, that's something which is done universally. The answers are different, the approaches are different. But the issues on the table for a Buddhist, for a Christian, for a Muslim, for a Jew, for an atheist, all of them have this issue in front of them. But of course, every religion has, it's a historical religion, has a history. It has at the other end of the spectrum a meta-history, both in the sense of made from Ayin Basa, speaking of the universe as a whole, Rana Tehilich, and can deal with, specifically with those issues, that body of corpse which I spoke earlier, not necessarily to deal with universal issues, but that is the playing field, so to speak, for him, kind of concerns that he has. To deal with the nature of man is a universal issue. To deal with the nature of Kashi soil, those for Krishna deal with Trinitarianism, those are specific issues, which is specific to a certain culture and a certain historical body. Now, amongst people who deal with religious philosophy, religious thought, of course, those who are ahistorical or grounded in any particular tradition, for them, the second category which I spoke, that kind of self-containment, is not really an option because they don't have a container within which the day of the issues which they deal about to be contained. But those who are revered in their particular position, tendencies can vary. And it can be a broad spectrum here. For those who deal exclusively, or at least I say primarily, with their own internal issues. As opposed to others, who to a great extent deal with universal issues through the prism of their own internal categories, internal texts. And then, of course, there's much more tangency, much more contact, much more reciprocal flow to their own world and maybe other worlds, unless they make a decided effort to see that their barriers prevent the entry and prevent the exit, as I mentioned previously. All of this is true a priori and also a posteriori. It's a historical fact, and it's almost inconceivable that should not be the case. Everybody should think only of the narrow sense and the broader sense. If one were to survey the world of Machshava as we know it in our world, we have to ask, of course, where we started. From a certain point of view, much of Tanakh is Machshava. The simple text of Achshavah is the Siddur. And of course, Chazal's world, at times implicitly, describes explicitly the awareness of issues to be dealt with was there. They may have had a certain context of suspicion, that might induce certain dangers, but they themselves obviously dealt with some of these issues, and that's sort of the way they were dealt with subsequently in Hashem's times as well later, but the issue is part of their concern. So when we come to more systematic Hashavir, Chazal's world is not systematic by and large, it's epigrammatic, Maima here, Maima there, insights, but not comprehensive systematic development. We do come to lay a more systematic thought. We find the two tendencies that I mentioned both in evidence. He has, as I'm after him, arranged on the one hand, he gives the most fundamental issues of general philosophy, common to his own personal world, cultural world, common to the Muslim world around him. On the other hand, you could have all shtickle 10 times if it's Yashayfer, as to why it's important to Yashayfer. A bit further down the pike, come to Kersel Hovis, which is a fusion of a good deal of Musa, of pietism on the one hand, but it's an attempt to deal with fundamental issues of Mashav on the other. In this respect, it's had, in one sense, a checkered history. Kersel Hovis is a sefer which is much learned, was much learned about the Musa, and most of it has been a Musa sefer. But not Musa simply in terms of encouraging Funkite, but just analyzing the nature of Rabbi Sarkim, the nature of Rabbi Shavira, and trying to deal with it through conceptual tools, not simply through pietistic cajoling. But the word Bali Musa refused to touch his curse of us. Before he gets to anything else, he hints at the Zohar Zakhtome, that is the Shar HaYichud. That's the opening Shar. The Shar HaYichud, no more, no less, puts it on the table of the question, does the Ben Shalom exist? It's a shocking thing to us, but that's the first Shar it deals with. Of course, he was using loaded dice, and those who raised issues of that kind or wrote works which would tend to be dialogues, to a great extent, both in their own world and others, cheated. Dialogue enters the world of general philosophy with Plato. Plato doesn't cheat. Plato's very honest. He wants you to think, and he and Socrates, where it was inspiring him, to think honestly, candidly, without preconceptions. And in Platonic dialogues, with the earlier lay with the shorter expansive, we have a sense of a genuine probing to find a solution, and very often a solution is not found. But the India Day, when you put everything on the table, is very different from the India Day of simple boorishness. But there's a certain mode and a certain fashion. Platonic dialogues, subsequently in the Renaissance particularly, many wrote them, but not with the kind of honesty that Plato advocated and manifested. So both himself, in terms of his perception, and in terms of what he communicates to you as a reader, did not for a moment imagine that this is a balanced and honest quest, search for the answer to this question. It was clear that the answer in his own mind was there, it should have been there. Except that you assume anyone just thought rationally, even say for the moment reliance upon authoritative texts, just thinking rationally, clearly arrive at conclusions of faith. Well, that was not the whole volume, of course, because to arrive at the conclusion of faith is simply to arrive at the conclusion of theism, does not yet prove you are religion. But he felt comfortable because he didn't see it as a very risky proposition. We don't do that kind of thing in our world. This is too great. And the element of suffering is self-evident. If that is clear, that is powerful. But he, coming back to the earlier issue we were talking about, is a mix of dealing with universal issues such as Shaddai Yichud through the use of our materials, our texts, our authorities. The other day I was dealing with much of what follows with our specific issues. Not only so, Shabbat Shalom, Tshuva Yira, the universal phenomena, but it's very heavily suffused, otherwise it's never entered by the Yerushim, by the Yod HaMusar. It's heavily suffused with our materials. Coming from there, the next step of the ladder, to the Rambam and Rabbi Halevi, which is often twins, who is often twin with the Rambam, by way of contrast, not necessarily by way of union. The Rambam in the world of Machshava devoted most, certainly not all, most of his energies, most of his concerns, the universal issues, and dealt with in the Jewish context and the Jewish tools and concepts. This is true if you look at the segments of certainly his early works. I have a great interest in Machshava. He writes at the end of the Shulchan Aruch, at the beginning of the last part of the Shulchan Aruch and Brachos, that all his endeavors, so what is Machshava that he enjoys the most? The Mishnah Torah element is, of course, subdued, but you can get something of a taste of that. Admittedly, with a not a strictly philosophic sense, but a more auditory sense, go through the 40 Sfarim of the Rambam and Mishnah Torah, take the coda of each of them, including Halacha, the message which is there, exhorting, pressuring, encouraging, inspiring. But also that element, certainly early part of Sefer HaMadot, the Rambam deals with issues which are very, very general nature. So in the early part of the Hussein HaTorah, when he's dealing with the structure of the universe, in a physical sense, or dealing with the nature of his Hashem, Yira Abba, etc., man confronted with the universe, Keshmerah says, Bersecha, what the response is, what the response should be. Those are the prevalent motifs. In the first four parking. Likewise, if it's Deus, not so much the parts which deal with the idea of Talmud Chacham, but the idea of a person. And also Mechama and Meruchim, where it's divided into different parts. Roughly half of the last Chalilet is three Chalilet and Meruchim. Here's the time I missed the word of Aloha. But clearly, that's the weakest part of the Sefer. Earlier on, deals first Chalik, in one sense, with our issues, but not with our issues. More than anything else, the Rambam deals over there, the question of anthropomorphism. Such a natural thing. One of the pre-Socratics, I forget, Aximenes or Aximenes, I forget who it was, said if oxen, Aximenes, if oxen could paint, the deities would be oxen. And the Torah, of course, presents that to us. It's conceptually and existentially. But translated the Pesel HaSecha and the Isalav of Pesel HaSecha, Tuna, runs throughout everything. Of course, that for the Rama particularly doesn't mean only if you have a painting. Halacha is much of a painting. And the Gemara of Shoshana, the Gemara of Nezare, what kind of painting do you have, what kind of statue do you have? But the major issue for the Rama is, you have a picture in a mental sense. You have a mental portrait. You feel the version, what do you think of? She was long beard in the kapot. You think in terms of pure abstraction, what do you conceive of? Of course, most people do think, maybe an uncle said it, maybe they think of its Chaim look. That version is part of the Zohar. And Rambam, Shai Lewis once said, Rambam's whole career is for Machshavos Kesuvos, the book defending of the Zohar. And that sounds a little strange. But he saw Spain and the Saim, they worship idols, the Maktir. Give a prayer, that's great. Sran and Chaschol? Of course not. And yet, when the speakers, what the word of Isaiah is all about, rather than men successfully humanizing one's sense of the Ben Shloilam and one's sense of the quality of the relationship to it, failure to recognize the uniqueness of Achu Shemayim, the uniqueness of his relationship to Achu Shemayim. And here, the Rambam had a problem with popular religion, which thinks very much that a Sefer Mecha investing in the Ben Shleim is a good deal. And particularly, of course, what one senses and one envisages and thinks of the Torah, Shemayim. I mentioned a various occasion, first, you can use the terminology of Tanakh and use it in the service of Rabbi Yisrael. Calls this Alakim, one of the other Shiva Shemis. And yes, what does that mean to you? And he describes to you exactly some idol, maybe not in the crudest sense, that sense of Shishayo Yabiyo Lampoon, idolatry. Not the most sophisticated sense, where Greek mythology works. So maybe it turns out you begin to scratch the surface. His conception of Ben Shloilam is not much different from the conception of the Olympian deities. So not only is David Isola there, but the additional terrible thing of harnessing Tom Shemikdusha and the interest of David Isola. Rambam, the first Sefer Devarim, deals from the beginning with language, human speech, what words mean. And that has to do partly what the capacity for speech in general means. Rambam was not one of the linguistic analysts of the 20th century, but the importance of language is very central to him. And it means very much what particular words mean. If you have to bear in mind, his battle with anthropomorphism was not just you got the physical elements, Yad Hashem, Yad Hashem, Pi Hashem. Ram vetoed emotions as well. Notwithstanding the overwhelming thrust Sukkim all over. Karenav, what's it, etc. He said, oh, that's all Dibbutim Shibanyadim. That's not really the way it is. Now, this issue of anthropomorphism, as I've said, if it was able to cause something of the pre Socratics, that's the dawn of Western philosophy. And it is one of the most central, crucial issues in religious thought and religious existence and experience. Fully one-sixth of Rav Ruchim is about another issue, also universal in character. The origins of physical reality is the word eternal, created, and deals with that as a philosophical issue. With a starting statement, he says that don't imagine that the reason that I fought so vigorously on behalf of the creationist point of view is because of the parshas and brachos. In the same manner as I've allegorized and managed to neutralize parts of his field ratio of his hand and foot, I've been able to rationalize and neutralize the account of Bria. But on philosophic grounds, I challenge Aristotle and accept the sense of a created world. I put it simply that all of this has to do with general issues, religious thought, religious philosophy, dealt with viewed through the prism of perspective, the Speklaya, the word of Tanakh, the word of Chazal, if on the other hand you take someone who's not quite a contemporary, close to it, Yehuda Levi, that's a different ballgame. The kind of issues which troubled, I may have chosen that's the correct word, which concerned the Rambam, and felt the need to be coped with, they took for granted. Someone come up to the street and asked, what do you think about anthropomorphism? So they would still cast a leader of this Dharma. Not with the same depth and breadth of that sophistication. Not with an attempt to cope with the psukim. That was not his cup of tea. What he's concerned with the eternal issues. Perhaps the soil, that was the soil. Our source and our destiny, and of course the world of Torah Mitzvahs, perceived to some extent as ultimately a Nir Lagoyim, or Lagoyim, but that's not the central element. The central element is, even when he uses the analogy, we are the heart of the world, Kas Yisrael, we pump blood to it, from it, in our work, that's actually that he didn't know. But the concern is with the heart as such, not so much with its functioning, universally speaking. The other shade, we stand somewhere between these two poles. Was the standard is the Ramban, part of the Ramban's greatness, the word Machshava, is somewhat analogous to his greatness, the word Halacha. Part of Ramban's personal greatness, and he was a giant in every respect. I've had the good fortune to be placed historically and geographically and culturally at a point part of my funnel into which flows both the tradition of Chachmei Ashkenaz, the Balei HaTesis, and the tradition of Chachmei Sfarad, North Africa, Aviv, Spain, etc. Likewise, the world of Machshava, I knew Greek philosophy. Of course, it's from time to time. But he didn't turn to it instinctively, intuitively. And quite apart from the question of what his sources were, his issues were concurrently both the general issues of religious thought and particular issues of our world of Machshava. This will become significant for us later on. So the Rosh Saran very much impacted wherever the Ran was, the impact upon the Ramban. Continued down the trail, historically speaking, again you find, of course, figures on this side of the and that side of the fence. Occasionally those who serve to integrate the Mahal dealt with general problems, but it's clear focus certainly the inner world of our own, some knowledge of the overall quasi-scientific views, but very deeply rooted first and foremost in our own world. Or if you look subsequently 19th, 20th century modern thought, Shahir's works in one direction, and of course Rav Kook in another. I stand the fact that Rav Kook had much to say about the general human condition as well, but he makes his mark by ourselves to the extent that he does, and what he has to say about Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. Here's such the tendency with this part of the fabric and the contour of what is like. So speaking of his containment, the self-containment, I say this is partly a question to whom you relate in terms of the tools that you use, the authorities that you cite, and partly what kind of issues you are concerned with. What are the universal issues, most of which a priori there to be dealt with, be analyzed, and post others which are specific and local, which have to do with our own personal and collective tradition. This is simply a way of some introduction to what we understand issues of Machshava. Sabbath, this was the question I discussed last time, in relation to yourselves and not just in abstract terms. Place, if any, which Machshava is intended to occupy, what one understands with the term. And here, you can have absolute diametrically opposed views. There are many who feel no need for Machshava, who have no use for it. And even beyond that, we're suspicious of it. It's part of the Sissu. What Chazal meant in the Gemara of Brachos is unclear. You should know there's a discussion of this in Shach. What Yigoyim means, Machshava, what Yigoyim means, study of Tanakh. If it's the study of Tanakh as well, it's also because that raises issues of Machshava. And we know many who abstain. Say of Machshava, either regarded as a ritualist as a waste of time and ability, or as being little genuine spiritual value. On the other hand, there are those who regarded Hashavah with very high esteem. And that has to do not necessarily what you think of the literature of Machshavah, what you think of Zavi as a good sefer or a bad sefer. It has to do with what you think needs to be done and how to be done by the presence of Eved Hashem. That will kill people. Clearly, sense that he is part of the world of Aveda is there. Now, if someone asks me, what do I do with Machshavah? Yeah, Talmud Torah is part of the world of Aveda Hashem. So we're mostly familiar with the Mubba Tzir Baba Kame. He says, what is the Aveda? What's the Lavikon of Afkem? Tefillah. Shiva loves the Tefillah. Sifri, the two parallel sections there. One says, love the Lavikon of Afkem is a Tefillah. One says, Lavikon of Afkem is a Talmud. But that in and of itself is not established by Shavu, because the Talmud could be into like Sifri and Sivis. Leave it at that. In this respect, the centrality of cognitive elements in our world of Avodas Hashem bears a dual aspect. Rambam explains to Gemara Yume. Gemara Yume says, "Who have a question about it?" How does one normally understand that? It's more difficult to cope with them. refrain from Isafeiru, you have no discipline for that. To refrain from even thinking about it, to have control of your own inner process of thought and sensibility, is much more difficult. Explains the question of Veda in a very different sense. That they're more difficult to control, but they're worse. So we get that.
Why?
So if we think normally we think a person has a desire, he has a passion that he wants to go out and engage in vapor robbery. So that's one thing, but if he actually does it, it's certainly much worse. Abbas says the noblest part of human personality is the capacity to think. Say a person eats a piece of chazer, eats with his mouth, eats with his teeth, so his nervous system is involved. So he has defiled that portion of him which he has in common with the animals. The animals have teeth and gastronomy. But his mind, that's unique to man. That's what the das is all about. So the Yehuda Veda wanted to defile noblest, purest, most critical, significant part of his personality. What that means, of course, is that the world of Avedis Hashem, think of Sibyl, we should be with Hashem with our mouth, with our fingers, with our feet, and then be with Hashem with our minds. That drama probably would have added, although that's not as simplistic than what I just quoted, the need to energize ourselves spiritually, religiously speaking, relates not simply to knowledge of halakha, central thing, but at least it's trying to understand the Mishnah as well. And yet, the counsel to Shlomo becomes critically important, but that's the Kiyavir. And that, of course, has its dangers. Number one, because it can't be properly done. Number two, it's not done properly, it's better than being never done at all. And yet, for them, it was inconceivable. It was Moshe Rabbeinu's greatest ambition. He wanted to know two things. You're going to read this now. He wanted to know two things. One, he wanted to know, as it were, the invention of himself, the Das of Ki Avicho. And what did that say? That has got that kind of view. There's the link between the two modes of Ashgaka, a reflection of the innermost being, Kibiyakul of Eshmaida. Now, without all Meshul Abayna, it's certainly arguable to say it was good Meshul Abayna, it's not good for us. There's a problem with Dar Adar and Miriam. As I'll explain, the critical Meshul Abayna. Because it's wonderful if celibacy is good, so we should also be celibate. If celibacy is not good, so why is Meshav doing it? Because the answer Meshav gives them, it's good for Meshav, it's not good for you. But it can have Dimash, it's different. And one could see, we argue that the quest Yedez Rakhi Avicha, Yedez Tochacha, it's good for Moshe Rabbeinu. What are the priorities of the world of Maisa? He's a very purified Kemalachim, as the Rambam says. But secondly, because for him it's a safe venture. Can't fall out of bed, we can fall out of bed. And yet, there's no question for someone at the Rambam, the attempt properly directed, properly disciplined. This part, the central part, lived eventually though, central part of Eretz Hashem. To the extent the word of Hashem relates to these issues, is central. It doesn't always relate only to these issues. Let's move on for next time with other issues involved. Preface to the end of Rosh Hashanah. But in one way or another, we speak of Hashem Yisrael, we're talking about that which relates to the word of Hashem, which means partly learning to try to understand the Mishloim, understanding ourselves, Lev Hashem, trying to understand the nation's relationship, and from that everything else flows. So it is, I've indicated, a matter which is in dispute, partly because of the suspicions of something at the table of the Rosh Hashanah, partly because of the question of priorities. And the Rambam makes it clear that the Abbas of Ayayin, start with that, the Bis of the Torah, and then go on to the higher reaches, as it were, of philosophy. At any rate, start with the Rosh Hashanah, beginning to next time. He certainly was in Rambam's camp and dealt, I say the Rambam's camp, but I mean as far as acknowledging the importance of Hashanah, where he stood with regard to the kind of division I mentioned before, the Rambam, the Yahal, and the Rambam, that we'll see when it's going to say for inside. I want to say something more, but I want to add now about kinship or this the difference between what terms we use of Machshava and philosophy. In the ancient world, you can't use the terms of religious thought, but you go to a great university, there's no department of religious thought. Not course of religious thought as such. Philosophy. Here, at the University of Yerushalayim, there's a division of activity, so a division of philosophy. Part of that has to do with whose philosophy you're dealing with. The rest is also the substance of topics. I'll try to discuss this somewhat next time, and then begin to move into the text themselves. I'm going to discuss the drashas now, but we'll start with the beginning of the first drasha. Well, I'm not sure we'll get there next time. Okay.
Sorry.
So I'm saying, if we get a discipline, I have to. I suggest, yeah, they need to look for us.
And also, when it says that your thought is, your thought is present, when you do an action, aren't you thinking about it?
That's what you mean by thinking.
When you're eating chazer, when a person's eating chazer, he's thinking about what he's doing. That's a thing to do.
Just satisfying his